we're making a tape of Helen Katnick, and she's going to tell us about her life in the Rosita area. And when were you born, Helen?
1901.
And were you born in Rosita?
In Rosita, yes. I went to school in Rosita, and of course in Junkins Park too, but then I went to school most of my life in Rosita.
And now tell us your mother's name, and maybe your mother's maiden name, and your father's name.
Well, my mother's name was Clara Hamill Hobby, and my father's name was John Hobby.
And did they come out here?
They came with their parents. My mother's people came in 1880, and my dad's people came in 1881.
Where did they come from?
Well, my dad's folks came from Missouri, and my mother's folks came from Wisconsin.
Oh.
They came in.
Did they come in covered wagons? Or?
My father's people did, yes, came in covered wagon across the plains from, there was a train load of them came through there.
And were they part of that colony that?
Oh, no.
They were just bought farmland, ranch
they
land?
No, they come mined.
To mine?
Mine, yeah. My dad and my grandfather both were miners.
And what mine did they work?
Well, my mother's father worked the, at least the Virginia mine and the Wisconsin mine. And then my dad was a miner himself. He didn't own a mine, or at least one. He worked in the mines all his life until he was part-time at the ranch. But that was all.
And then he went in, did he go into ranching then, or?
No, he did both.
He did both?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He raised cattle?
Yes, cattle, and not too much, but then mostly working in the mines and back and forth to the ranch.
And you were born in the town of Rosita?
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm.
And you went to school there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many children were in the school when you went?
Oh, it varied from I expect, now in my day, not too many. But my folks, I expect a couple of hundred kids went to school at that time when my folks were going to school in Rosita.
Oh, I see.
How
many people were living in Rosita at that time?
When my folks was there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't tell you. It was over the thousands anyhow. It was a big town, pretty good town. They had a bank and three lodge halls and three or four saloons and two grocery stores that I know of. And then they had what they called a skating rink. That's where the young people went for their entertainment.
Was this inside skating rink?
Yes.
Oh, roller skating rink.
Yes, uh-huh, yeah. Their dances and all their entertainment they held there.
Uh-huh.
That was before my time. And then Rosita had that big fire. I can't recall in the year that fire was, but that took most of the town. And from then on, I expect there was 200 or 300 people lived in there throughout my life, until later years, and there's nobody was there.
Was that cheese factory there when you were there?
No, that was before my day,
before.
Too. And also the brewery was there before my day. I know where they were at, but...
Yeah, there's still some...
Yeah.
Where was
that.
The brewery at? I didn't know there was a brewery there.
Well, the brewery, do you know where Lauren Morgan lives?
Yes.
Well, you know where that house that's just above Lauren Morgan's there and the Crails and things?
Yeah.
It was right in there.
Oh, okay.
There was some brick stone wall living there. I mean, still in there the last time I was
there's
there.
There's still some foundations
well,
and
that's
stuff.
That's it.
That's part of the brewery.
Mm, that's part of the brewery. Oh. And the cheese factory, I can't recall right now.
That was down the road further, sitting back, I think.
There's someone told us there's some rock walls that are hand rock walls. You know how they hand build them straight with no cement?
That was a smelter.
Was that a smelter down
that
there?
That was a smelter down there.
Oh.
Yeah. That's between there and Rosita and the cemetery.
Okay. See, we hear different things and we don't...
Uh-huh.
I don't know who told us that.
That was a smelter.
Okay.
A lot of these people come in here and tell you a lot of tales that ain't true.
That's why we want to get it on tape to come to the source.
That's why we want to come to somebody who is there, you know. And the schoolhouse, was that also doubled as, did they use the schoolhouse a lot, like as a church? And
oh, no, we had churches.
We had churches.
Yeah,
there.
This little church over here, the Episcopal
Church
was moved from Rosita.
I see, the whole building was moved.
No, just the church.
I mean, the church building was moved from Rosita.
Down here.
I see.
It was moved to Silver Cliff first, then they moved it on down to here. And there also is a memorial window of one of the men that came with my grandfather on Dad's side by the name of Townsend, in memory of him, on the window over here. It's still on that window.
In there. Oh.
Yeah, somebody told me that they had moved part of the Methodist church was from Rosita, too.
Yes, it was rebuilt from Rosita's property.
Right.
And so was the Baptist church.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was up there.
That originally was the Rosita schoolhouse. They moved out to south of town here and used it for a church for a while, and then they decided to move to town. Of course, it ain't nothing like it wasn't there. See, that was a two-story schoolhouse.
Oh,
the schoolhouse.
I saw a picture of the Rosita schoolhouse once. It was like two-story. It looked like a pretty good size.
Oh, yeah, but it's four rooms.
Four rooms. Mm-hmm. But the fire didn't get that, huh?
No, it didn't get that, no.
That's good.
And the lodge halls, it didn't get that. It's the main part of the town got.
How did the fire start, did they know?
I have no idea. I don't know. It was never told to me how they started.
What year was that it burned? Do you
I can't recall.
Didn't know that either.
No.
Tell us something about the ranching out there. Was it always been strictly cattle, or did they raise things like potatoes?
It was homesteaders is what it was. People homesteaded the land out in there. And they raised grain and potatoes and all kinds of vegetables, different things, and cattle, horses, and all.
Was the climate wetter than it is now? Or?
Oh, yes, much wetter. Mm-hmm. Yes. But we had more severe winters than we've got right now.
So did, when you, like the food, did most of the people just raise their own food, or was there anything brought in? Or?
Well, sure, there was stuff brought in, but they did raise potatoes and such as they could here, but there's other things they had to bring in, like they freighted, one of my grandparents on Dad's side, run a freight line from Canyon City to Rosita and hauled things in and out.
But did they have like root cellars and things like that?
Oh, yes.
Where they stored a lot of potatoes and carrots and things
that? Canned a lot of food and things like that was available.
Did people very often go down to like Pueblo or Canyon, or was that a once a year type thing? Or
probably was once a year.
How long did it take in those days to get
Well, about 2 days, one day down, one back, unless they had lots extra to do in the day down there. You know,
it was about a one-day trip each way.
Each way, that's right.
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me that you got, I think Van Kelly was telling me that you got caught in a flood down in Pueblo
that
once.
That was Pueblo, yes. That was in 1921, in that big flood in Pueblo. We lost two big loads of potatoes. And
you went down there to sell your potatoes?
Sell the potatoes down, yeah. And then we lost two loads of potatoes, and we lost four head of horses in the flood.
They got caught in the water.
Yeah, the water, uh-huh.
Was it just all of a sudden it swept through the town?
Yes, it was. We went down there and we put our horses in a livery barn and left our wagons there too, and we got our rooms and was going to stay all night, and we decided to go to the show, so we went on to the show, and while we were in the show, of course, there was a high water warning before that, but nothing like it happened at the time. And then after the flood was so bad, they put all the lights out, and we stood on what they call Tenderfoot Hill half of the night. It was 4 days before we got any connection back to home, because they wouldn't let anybody in or out.
Mm-hmm. Did they know what caused the flood? Was it a big rainstorm up here?
And it was a reservoir broke up.
Oh.
Up at Victor, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
And down there. But it was a big storm all the way around, and the two rivers come together there.
Were there people that were killed in that flood?
Oh, many, many, and a lot of them they'll never find. Because, see, they just were trapped and they wouldn't leave when they had warning. A lot of them.
Maybe you tell us some things about the mines that you
Well, the
learned.
Virginia mine was a very rich mine of its day. In fact, my grandfather made quite a stake there in the Virginia mine, and then he worked the Pocahontas mine, too. And that was a rich mine. The Maverick was a pretty rich mine for silver and a little bit of gold, but not enough to call it a gold mine.
Where's the Virginia mine at now? Can you see it?
Yeah, you can see where the Virginia mine is. You know, when you're going through Rosita,
mm-hmm.
and go through up there, See, I think this fellow's name is Shy Lives Up on the Hill.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's the Virginia mine, that big dump right there.
Okay.
And the next big dump on over is the Humboldt mine.
Okay, is that the one where you can see the hole in the side of the hill? It looks like the mine opening?
No, that's the Victoria.
Oh, okay.
Going out of Rosita.
Yeah.
That's the Victoria. That's a rich mine, too. Of course, it's overhead and everything. At the time the mine's all shut down, well, it was water and finances to go on with it, you know.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of, some of those, not a lot, but some of the mines were flooded out because they just couldn't pump the water out.
Well, that's right. Some of them. The shafts were.
Yeah.
The tunnels never were.
But it was mainly silver they got out of those mines.
Mainly silver, uh-huh, yeah.
Did your dad have any problems with cave-ins or anything when he was working?
No, not in that mines, no. No cave-ins, the only thing, of course, it doesn't probably have anything to do with this, but when the Bassick mine in Corita, my dad was the last one out of that mine when the boiler blowed up.
Mm.
That was that gold mine.
I see. I never even heard of that. Did you hear of a boiler blowing up?
The Bassick mine?
Yeah. Tell us about that. I don't know.
Well, it was just a chimney of rich gold.
Yeah.
And they employed a lot of men and all at Dad's time. When I don't know, that was must have been, in the early 1900s when that happened. And then they, of course, that was one mine was flooded out. They couldn't compete with the water to get it out. But it was a real good mine, and there is traces of it yet over there.
How did they have to get the water out? Did they have to pump it out?
They bailed it out with buckets.
Bailed it out?
Mm-hmm. They had what they called bailer buckets. And they'd fill them, the pressure would hold it down, and then they'd raise it up and spill the water out.
And then how did the boiler blow? Did they?
Well, that's what they fired the engine to pull the men up out of the shafts.
Oh, I
with.
See.
You see, they had a cage that pulled them up out of the shaft, and then when the boiler blowed up, well, then they had to climb the ladders out.
How deep was that mine, do you know?
Well, it's 11 miles adrift in there. And how deep it was, it's a deep mine. I can't tell you how deep.
Okay.
But they claim these 11 miles of drifts as tunnels from one area to the other.
11 miles. Mm-hmm. You all dug by hand.
Yeah.
And blasted and pulled out.
Pick and shovel.
Pick and shovel.
When the boiler blew, were there men killed?
No, there was no one killed because the boiler was down a separate connection from the shaft. Oh. See, it was quite a ways from the shaft. But it just had no steam. They couldn't do nothing with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Was there a lot of, did you see a lot of deer and elk and things around that time when you were
there? Deer, but not any many, elk, no.
Not any elk.
No, the elk didn't come into this area here. Now, I think east of here, up near our place there, was the first elk that was planted in here. And that one must have been in about 1918 or 20.
I see. So they were all planted and transplanted
in here? Yeah, they were transplanted.
They weren't native here?
No, they weren't native here.
I see.
Deer were. Oh, yes, deer was. Another thing I think is wrong, a lot of these people don't understand the hills around Rosita. And now, where you live, that man that lives up on top of that hill, that's Saddleback.
That's called Saddleback.
Yeah, that's in our day. They've got another name for it now, though.
Yeah, he has a name for it, but I noticed there's one a little bit higher and it sort of saddles down to his.
That's Saddleback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the one in Rosita back of Thelma's house.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pringle Hill.
Okay.
That was named after one of the old settlers in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one, it'd be north of Thelma, going up what we used to call Hungry Gus, that's Robinson Mountain.
I see.
And then the one in front of that is Lucille.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they've all got names.
Uh-huh.
Well, what's the one in front of Hamilton's where he's got the big house? That's the one we have that we call Holy Hill now.
What you know where those big
solid rocks are?
You mean split rocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, the split
rocks.
Well,
we're right on the other side of it.
We're a little bit south and east of there.
I can't recall any name for that.
Oh, okay. Well, we gave it a name. It's called Holy Hill now.
We have crosses on the top.
Oh, I see.
But I just wondered if they ever had a name, too. I call that one big one down there, but along the creek down there, Elephant Rock, because it's one great big solid piece of stone.
Oh, that's split rocks.
That's split rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still water runs down that stream along that county road there, that runs up towards the cemetery. It still runs year-round down there.
Maverick Ditch.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Maverick Ditch?
Now, was that full of water at one time?
Just two springs and all. Of course, there's big floods go down through that, so that's a big drainage for the whole town.
Yeah.
In there, and then
people are building houses in it now.
I know.
Were they, some of them almost in a drainage. Was Rosita Cemetery there when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. My grandparents are buried there. And I think one of them died in 1881 and another in 82. They didn't live long after they come through here, but because it's my granddad and my great-granddad that come here. They didn't live too long after they come here. One got pneumonia, and I don't remember what happened to the other one, but pneumonia in them days was
pretty
something
serious.
You couldn't compete with. That was true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you notice in the cemetery there's one plot where there's four little kids, looks like they died about the same time.
And that was an epidemic of scarlet fever, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a takeoff from strep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my folks are all buried in the cemetery there. Their name were Hobbies, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right,
we know that.
I'm from Rosita, from Westcliff to Rosita, with a horse and buggy.
If anybody, so they made house calls. They came to the house.
Oh, yes, all of us did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they never failed. It's armors, or else they got there.
What were some of the names of the doctors? Do you remember?
Dr. Sperry was one of them. Okay. And Dr. Baldwin was another one. And let's see, Dr. Long was another one. He's buried in Rosita, and Dr. Sperry is buried in Rosita.
Well, was it about a couple-hour trip out there by buggy? Or?
It all depends on the weather.
The weather, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You were saying that there's not too many left that were born in Rosita. You're about the
only one that I know of.
That was actually born in Rosita.
There's others that lived on farms around Rosita, but they weren't born in Rosita.
Yeah, and, we've noticed, too, that even now, neighbors, for the most part, are pretty friendly and helpful. Mm-hmm. And you almost have to be out there.
Well, they were. Everyone was. There's a couple, what you'd call midwives, to take care of all the sick kids and everything. Till the doctor got there and helped out all around there.
Is that who delivered babies mostly?
A lot of midwives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're going back to that kind of today again. They're going back to having babies in the homes.
That's right.
So it wasn't such a bad way to do it.
No, it wasn't. That's right.
What kind of medicines and things did they use back then?
Castor oil and turpentine. Some of their old standbys, I wouldn't say.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they had different kinds of medicine, but little kids all got castor oil, as they got sick.
What, turpentine? Straight turpentine? How do you
No, they'd to put it on
Put it on
chest.
Your chest. That's okay.
No, they wouldn't take it. They'd
kill it.
They would mix it with the
tallow
or something, make a poultice and put them on that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what were some of the, do you remember some of the pastors and things from the churches?
No, I don't. In my time, they didn't have any pastors or ministers. They were what they called evangelists. They'd come and stay a week or two time and just rotate around.
In different houses.
Yeah, in different houses.
Uh-huh.
Some they held in some of the little churches if they had congregations enough and stayed long enough. But other than that, it was just from house to house, and you had to provide food and beds for them and everything.
Uh-huh. How about the teachers? Were they single people or mostly?
No, they were
married. Did they do something else?
There were a few married ones, but most of them were single people.
Uh-huh.
And they boarded in the town and all.
Stayed in the homes.
Yeah, we had several that boarded with our family.
Oh. And you were taught by them?
In the school, yes. We were taught by them in the school.
I wonder how the kids today would like teachers staying in their house.
They wouldn't like it, I don't
think. I don't think so.
And in what grade did they have it? Kindergarten through eighth?
No, it was first grade.
First grade.
Through eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. The child stayed at home and learned from mama instead
That's
of going
right.
to kindergarten.
Yeah.
And through eighth.
Through eighth. And very few went on to high school from then either because it was too far away and too expensive. People couldn't take it then.
Yeah. Where'd they have to go to high school?
Canyon City.
Canyon City.
Most of them. And another thing, I was neighbors to Carl Wolfstein, and I knew him very well. They brought the colony into the valley here.
Yeah.
Now tell us about that. How did he come to bringing the people
in? I can't tell you the story about that because I'm not, he never talked it. Of course, he was, you might say, thrown out of the colonists when he lived up there at Rosita.
Oh, I see.
And they went on their own from there on. And I don't really know how they brought him, but he did bring them in here. And I guess he spent their money and let them down, and they went on to their own way. But he was a pretty good neighbor and a good friend of mine.
Now, where did he live in the...
Well, do you know where Gwen Hobby lives?
Yes.
Well, his house, he lived right there.
Oh.
He had a two-story house there. It's burned down now.
Yeah, that was the one that Gwen Hobby lived in for
a
while. Now, where did you live in Rosita?
I lived in
several places,
yes. We owned, let's see, four houses in Rosita at different times, and we'd move from, depend on if it was rented, why we'd take the one that wasn't rented when we moved to town. But later years, we kept one house completely furnished, and then all we had to do was back and forth to the house, to the ranch. It was only...
Now, this is the ranch in Junkins Park you're talking about.
5 miles east of Rosita.
Is that where Bud Hobby lives now, up in that area?
Yeah, he lives in Junkins Park.
Yeah.
Is that the ranch your dad's ranch that he had?
No, the ranch that my dad homesteaded is on the west end of Junkins Park coming this way. If you ever been that way,
yeah, we've
the first up. House down in the, right now in the creek bed is where ours was.
Oh.
And we have all the ponds on our place, those fish ponds.
And so he came and homesteaded that.
Oh, my dad homesteaded it,
yeah. Yeah.
1909.
Tell us about that.
You file through the government.
Okay.
And then
for how much acreage?
Well, he had 160 acres at the beginning, and then they had a stock raising addition to it, and he had 640. You file it, and you have to live on it, I think it was 3 to 5 years, and prove up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
put buildings on it, that type of thing.
Make it a home, make your living there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, anyway, it was your land after you proved up on it. You do as you please with it, sell it or do as you please.
After 3 years. Mm-hmm.
3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. My husband and I, after we were married, we lived on that ranch there for 45 years.
Oh.
Ranch.
And so you ran cattle there?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cold up there in the winter, though. Lots of snow.
Oh, yes. We had a lot of snow in there.
Yeah. I know our school bus has to go up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes he has a hard time getting in and out of Junkins Park.
And school buses are going to learn a whole lot before they're through if they get a hard winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's gotten stuck up there quite a bit last year. So I think he's getting so he's going to wait for the snowplow before he goes up.
So there were times when you were just snowed in?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's not so bad.
No, we didn't mind it at all. We had fun.
Uh-huh.
Had our stock in where we could feed it and everything, and we had fun up there and entertainment. And as long as we could ride horseback from neighbor to neighbor, we had pretty close neighbors up there at that time. Now it's one or two people own the whole country up there now.
Uh-huh.
Did you cut your own hay and that type of thing and bale it by hand, I suppose?
No. We stacked it.
Stacked it.
Mm-hmm. Or bailed it.
Haystacks, like a haystack.
And you just feed off the haystack.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they're making big round ones.
Oh, yes.
They're going back to the haystacks again.
Sort of, but not quite.
Well, it's really been a pleasure to talk with you, and I'm sure you've told us a lot that some of the younger people over the years will...
Well, I hope it helps some memories back that you can't just think of right off the reel.
Yeah.
Tom Will. And deliver it to people. They had barrels and stuff to hold it in a week or whatever it was. They'd haul the water there. And there was a few wells that was pretty good wells in town there. But there's very few that they got water in. There was good wells.
Is there a place right on the other side of that hill that's called, had like arsenic in the water or something? It was a poison well, spring?
Oh, that's clear down in Poison Springs. That's out towards Creta.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. In between Rosita and Carita.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But someone, I think it was Mr. Sparling, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me that they thought maybe the elk would drink water there and then run over and die in Bones Park or someplace like that, but I don't know. I think that was a guess.
I'll tell you what that was. It wasn't exactly poison, but there was a weed around there. The water was not poison. But it was a weed around there, and these cattle would eat this weed and drink the water, and it caused them to bloat and die.
So they thought it was bad water, but it was actually bad weeds.
And they pumped that water back to the Bassick Mine to run the mine with.
Oh. Yeah, the Bassick Mine is across the road down there.
Across the hill, across there.
So the reason, the reason you didn't have a lot of wells there was because the water was hard to get.
Yeah, you dig
a well and you wouldn't hit anything.
That's right, uh-huh. Yeah, they were.
So that might be a problem with all the building that's going around there now.
It will. Of course, they can go much deeper for water nowadays than they could then. But there's quite a few wells around there, different places. But this big spring was the main water of the town.
Was that, Van was mentioning, they called Brown Spring at one time?
Where was the spring?
Well, you know, I'll tell you where the brewery was.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that basin in there.
Okay.
I think they got it pumped out for stock water or something. I don't know. I don't know what they've done with that there.
I've seen a few pipes down there, but I haven't seen hardly any water.
There doesn't seem to be hardly any water there now.
There isn't,
Yeah, it's probably got covered up, the spring did or something.
Well, they did develop it into a stock.
Oh, I see.
For stock, and
stock
I imagine
water.
They covered up and just run out in pipes. I haven't been down to it since they did that. Yeah. I think Margaret's family done that.
Yeah.